This is the third and final episode in my podcast mini-series, Termination Done Right. If you haven't already done so, I suggest listening to the first two parts, episodes 7 and 10, before taking this one in. In the first episode, I talked about common employer mistakes with terminations, and in the second episode, I discussed proactive steps for employers to take when they have to terminate an employee's employment. As an aside, I've always thought the phrase terminating an employee sounds a little grim, like a cyborg from the future killing them or something. But I guess it's just a shorthand phrase. At any rate, in this episode, I'm going to discuss some additional steps that employers may want to consider to protect themselves in the event that a termination decision leads to litigation. Right out of the gate, I know what you're thinking. You just got through telling us how to do termination the right way, so why should we be worried about litigation? Well, I've said before that getting sued in the employment law field is like cancer for a business. Sometimes the high-risk individuals avoid it, and sometimes the cautious get it anyway. Also, if you need to terminate employment from time to time, the odds are that sooner or later, you may have a claim brought against you, so it's worth considering how to minimize the damage. The first thing I have to mention is arbitration. In general, employers can require employees to sign agreements that require any disputes be submitted to arbitration. Now, in fairness, that statement is a bit of an oversimplification. There are a lot of variables and state law considerations, but overall, courts in most jurisdictions are pretty friendly toward arbitration, and with some care, most employers can make broad use of it. But before we proceed, let's clarify what we mean when we're talking about arbitration in this context. When you mention arbitration, a lot of people immediately think of traditional labor disputes in the union setting. In those scenarios, an arbitration procedure is agreed to in a collective bargaining agreement. And this is certainly where arbitration has its roots. However, what I'm talking about is arbitration of claims in a non-union setting based on one-on-one agreements with employees. What this means broadly is that the employer and the employee agree that if they have any dispute about the employment relationship, such as a claim of discrimination, the parties will submit the claim to binding arbitration rather than going to court. Essentially, the parties agree to hire an arbitrator, who is usually an attorney with employment law or at least litigation experience, to serve as both judge and jury and hear and decide the case. Again, this means that the parties will not go to court and a jury will not decide the case. You might ask, where did this come from? As I mentioned, it's been around a long time in the union setting, but outside of that, it really took off in the late 90s and has gained popularity ever since. Some of you may remember the old Circuit City stores. They had a big red facade and sold electronic equipment like TVs and computers, very much like Best Buy. They went out of business some time ago, but they were really the innovator in requiring employees to sign arbitration agreements as a condition of employment, and they litigated several cases over the years. Again, this is a bit of an oversimplification, but the rule emerged that if you were merely substituting the arbitral forum for the judicial forum and were not otherwise seeking to gain advantage or shift costs to the employee, arbitration agreements are usually enforceable in most jurisdictions. Recent U.S. Supreme Court cases have pretty much uniformly favored and enforced arbitration agreements. Now, an initial question many people have is, how does this work, or how do you find an arbitrator? Not surprisingly, several businesses have been created to administer arbitration, and they do things like collect fees, create rules, maintain panels of arbitrators to choose from, administer the arbitration, and even provide record-keeping and docketing systems like courts. Now, many local bar associations do this, but there are a handful of big nationwide services out there that probably handle the majority of arbitrations. Examples include the American Arbitration Association, JAMS, which used to be known as Judicial Arbitration and Mediation Services, NAM, which is National Arbitration and Mediation, CPR, which is Conflict Prevention and Resolution, and another service called FORUM. I'll include links to their websites in the show notes so you can check them out if you're interested. So what does arbitration look like? Well, it looks very much like an employment law case filed in state or federal court, but it's usually less formal. In most cases, the parties start by using some process to select an arbitrator. This process may be dictated by the terms of the arbitration agreement or by the rules of the organization administering the arbitration. Once an arbitrator is selected, the parties usually have an initial conference where they agree on things like a case schedule, rules of discovery, and other issues. Ultimately, the case is tried to the arbitrator just like a trial in court, and the arbitrator considers the evidence and the law and issues an arbitration decision that tells the parties who won the case and, if applicable, how much is being awarded and why. One unique feature of arbitration that is different from a court case is that there is very little opportunity to appeal an arbitrator's decision, unless there is evidence of a conflict of interest or some seriously bad conduct by the arbitrator. The parties are usually stuck with the arbitrator's decision. One additional point. Arbitration should not be confused with mediation. In arbitration, you hire a third party to hear and decide a case, and it is binding like a court's judgment. In mediation, you're hiring a third party to assist the parties with trying to reach a settlement, and it is not binding. The parties can walk away whenever they please. Now, I'm a huge proponent of mediation and plan to do a separate episode on that topic. All right, so with all that background, is arbitration right for your workplace? Obviously, I'm in favor of arbitration for employers, but in fairness, there are many employers who do not like it for a variety of reasons. So let's look at some of the pros and cons. First, the pros. Pro number one, no jury. Over the course of my career, I've had the opportunity to participate in several mock jury trials. This is a process where you try an abbreviated case to a fake jury that is assembled to match the jury pool of the jurisdiction where your real case is pending. The idea is to run the case by a jury that is similar to the real thing. The case is presented in an abbreviated format with real witnesses, and then the attorneys and clients can watch the deliberation and outcome to get a sense of what the jury found compelling and what they were thinking about the case. Overall, from a defense perspective, I would describe the process as horrifying, but it did confirm some common criticisms of juries in employment cases. First, juries usually find for the party they liked or felt sorry for. And who doesn't feel sorry for someone who lost their job? Second, most jurors think that big companies have pots of money around and won't miss a stray million here or there. Of course, this doesn't describe every jury, but it is a risk built into trying cases to juries. And it is one reason why the plaintiff's bar is generally against arbitration. Now, when you're in arbitration, you're dealing with an arbitrator, who is likely a seasoned attorney. In most cases, this means that he or she will not be swayed by emotion and is less likely to provide a windfall award that you might see with a so-called runaway jury. These points alone are a strong argument for employers considering using arbitration. Arbitration pro number two, it's faster and, in many cases, cheaper. In most cases, arbitration is over much quicker than a court case. This is not always true, but in general, you can get through an entire arbitration much quicker than a traditional lawsuit. And this is especially true right now because courts remain backed up from being shut down due to COVID-19. So my guess would be that for another year or more, arbitration will remain much faster than going to court. Does this mean it's cheaper? It might. But I have to be fair and say that it's often up to the parties, and it is possible for arbitration to be cheaper, but it can also cost as much as conventional litigation. Arbitration pro number three, lower settlement value. One thing that drives settlement is fear of putting a risky case in front of a jury. Take the jury out of the equation, and the settlement value of a case usually goes down. For this reason, cases in arbitration are more likely to settle and more likely to settle for less money than similar cases in courts. Arbitration pro number four, more privacy. It's pretty easy to get information about cases filed in court, and some journalists will actually check court filings periodically to see if there are any newsworthy stories in there. While arbitration proceedings are not technically confidential, and participants are not usually subject to any kind of broad confidentiality requirement, it's a lot harder to get information about private arbitrations. As a result, companies that would prefer to avoid publicity regarding their employment issues may prefer to have them decided via arbitration. So those are a few pros in favor of arbitration, but there are also cons that convince some employers to take a pass on arbitration. So here are some of the cons. Con number one, the arbitration fight. The arbitration agreement is often challenged by employees, and this costs money to fight. What happens is the employee who does not want to go to arbitration files a lawsuit in court, and then the employer files a motion to compel arbitration, and this leads to a whole fight before the court that includes filing pleadings, making arguments, all before the real case even gets started, and it can be expensive. And there's also a fight to consider on another front. If you're not currently using arbitration and decide to bring it to your workplace, you can count on some employees being unhappy about it, which can lead to morale problems and other issues. So you have to consider whether these fights are things that you're willing to take on before you start in on an arbitration program. Con number two, more weak claims. Arbitration does not have the same mechanisms in place to dismiss weak cases that court proceedings have. In most arbitrations, the parties will have a hearing and get a decision. And this means that weaker cases that a court might dismiss will more often go the distance in arbitration. Now, it's hard to say whether or not this leads to a greater overall cost to the employer, but it certainly is possible that it could. Arbitration con number three, the cost. Years ago, arbitration was clearly a cheaper alternative to court. However, the costs have steadily increased since I've been practicing law, and in some jurisdictions where arbitrator compensation is high, they've reached pretty outrageous levels. Since the employer has to pay for the costs of arbitration, things like arbitrator compensation and the various fees, many now question whether it is cheaper to arbitrate. Arbitration con number four, no appeal. If a judge in a court case makes an obviously bad ruling, you can appeal it and it will be reviewed by another court. In arbitration, absent extreme circumstances, there is no appeal. If an arbitrator absolutely gets a case wrong, but is otherwise neutral and ethical, there's really nothing you can do about it. You're just stuck with a bad decision. So those are some of the main pros and cons of arbitration, and I think employers need to carefully consider them before making a decision about arbitration. I remain a proponent of arbitration primarily because I believe that taking cases out of the jury system is helpful to employers while still providing a fair hearing of the issues. If you don't want to undertake arbitration, there are some additional options. You can still allow cases to go to court, but have employees sign agreements waiving the right to a jury trial. These are referred to as jury waivers and are enforceable in many jurisdictions. The idea is that a judge will hear and decide the case in what is called a bench trial. You still have the whole process of in-court litigation and all the rules. You simply take the jury out of the picture. This has some appeal for the same reasons as arbitration, but I should point out that you have less control over the process, no input into the selection of the judge who hears the case, and no guarantee that the judge who is selected is well-versed in employment law. Regardless, it is something that has become more popular in recent years, possibly because of increasing arbitration costs. Another thing for employers to consider are class action waivers. These are agreements that are usually included in an arbitration agreement and require an employee to bring claims only as an individual and not as part of a class. Now, I should mention that several courts have now ruled that standalone class action waivers without an arbitration agreement are enforceable, but it's not clear that every jurisdiction would agree. Regardless, the idea of avoiding class litigation is attractive to many employers. The only additional thing I should point out is that the plaintiff's bar has come up with a pretty clever way to beat these waivers, and that is by filing hundreds or even thousands of individual cases. Now, this takes a lot more organization, but the costs alone are prohibitive for many employers. Nevertheless, class action waivers can be helpful, especially in eliminating weak claims where even the existence of a class is questionable. One more option for employers to consider is Employment Practices Liability Insurance, or EPLI. This is simply an insurance policy that covers employers for certain employment claims. There are a lot of different varieties in terms of cost, coverage, deductibles, and so forth. These policies can be a real lifesaver, particularly for smaller businesses, but there are a couple of things to consider. First, if you do get sued, you will probably not get to choose your own attorney, and you may or may not like who the insurance company picks. Second, not every type of claim is necessarily covered, so as with any insurance policy, make sure you read the fine print. Also, you will lose a lot of control over how to resolve the case, and the insurance company may decide to settle a case that you would much rather fight. So as we conclude our discussion of termination done right, consider whether arbitration jury waivers, class action waivers, or EPLI coverage is right for your business.
This has been the Practical Employment Law Podcast. Thanks for listening. Please watch for future episodes wherever you get podcasts. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review. If you would like to contact me about any aspect of the podcast, my email address is mchumley@kmklaw.com, and my full contact information is in the show notes. This podcast was created for general informational purposes only and does not constitute legal advice or a solicitation to provide legal services. Although we attempt to ensure that the podcast is complete, accurate, and up-to-date, we assume no responsibility for its completeness, accuracy, or timeliness. The information in this podcast is not intended to create, and listening to it does not constitute an attorney-client relationship. Listeners should not act upon this information without seeking